Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highways 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. And we're also in the Village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building across from Winkies. We service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida, and you can visit ellenbecker.com for more details. So my guest today is, well, partly myself as a wealth advisor here. And my second guest is Jill Butterfield, licensed psychotherapist with Soul Spot Medicine. And Jill also runs some corporate wellness consulting programs here at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Thanks for being on the show with me today, Jill.
Well, thank you, Heather. What a lovely introduction. Yeah, we're talking, I guess I'm in the same boat. We are talking about launching our kids either out of the home, their empty nest, to college, to trade school, to all of the above. And how do we look at that both emotionally from the parent's perspective and also financially? So the tangible and the intangible kind of go hand in hand here. So I guess we're just going to get started and try to figure this out together. And it's interesting because Heather has, I believe you have one that's graduated, one that's a senior at Madison. And my child just was graduated a couple years back and got married and moved to another state. So the launch is both very personal to us, and we've experienced, I'm sure, like all the same emotions, and we need to kind of readjust the way we think and feel and allow them to grow and allow ourselves to grow. So I'm here to kind of help Heather walk you through this. So what would you like to start with? You want to start with the financial piece or a little bit of the emotional piece?
Let's start with the financial piece. Okay. And I'm thinking at the initial launch. So for many families, that is at high school graduation, when they're going to college. So from the financial side of that, one of the biggest gifts that we can give to our young family members, our kids, is the habit of managing and tracking their cash flow. I talk about this all the time with clients of all ages. What does that mean? What that means is tracking on a monthly basis what comes in and what goes out, and most importantly, where it goes. Now, you can imagine for a young person who is experiencing freedom for the first time, has to manage where their spending is going, because it's likely not unlimited funds that they get to work with. And they're also needing to buy all their own snacks, get their own transportation, do all those things. So that is one thing to work with your young adult on, is getting that into a habit. And maybe even you could have that as a requirement if you're providing some sort of funding for their college education or their spending, or you're paying their rent. That could be something that you work together on to say, you know what, for us to partner in this, I'm going to need you to do this activity just on a monthly basis.
Right.
I know when one of our sons went to college, we talked about that, and he set himself a bit of a budget as to what did he think he was going to need every month for spending. Now, he didn't have a lot to go off of, right? So he just was like, well, it'll probably be this much for this type of spending, this much for this type. And what was really great was to see him track that and to see really where did that spending go. He didn't overspend necessarily. He didn't overspend, but he did have to kind of catch himself and check himself on that.
Right.
He also had pointed out, we talked over that first year, especially that first year, you know, do you want us to give you your, and I'm just going to call it an allowance, right? You want us to give you your budget that we're helping you out with every month? Do you want to get a whole semester's worth? We kind of gave each of the kids, as they went through this, their own kind of autonomy on how they wanted to manage their finances. And one of them said, you know, I'm better if you only give it to me monthly.
Right.
If I see that bigger balance, right. If I see that bigger balance, I might get a little bit too free.
Right.
So that's just one of the pieces that you can really help your young adult with in that transition phase. I kind of led with the cash flow tracking, talking about what I keep thinking of as an allowance, but you need to decide how you're going to share expenses. Right. There's a lot of expenses in those, you know, where many people are in the college years. So you've probably had those conversations along the way. How are you really? What is the parent committing to? What is the child committing to? That's obviously a very personal decision as a parent that you make. Just to get down to some of the, you know, again, the deep parts of the financials, if you've got an education savings account, like a 529, or in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin program is called an EdVest. If you've got that EdVest account, you can kind of choose how fast or how slow you want to spend that. You may not have your child's education and what you've committed to as a parent. You might not have that all fully funded in your EdVest. So one option you've got is to just kind of rip through that as fast as you need to. And you know, at the end of college, you'll just be paying out of pocket.
Right.
Another way to consider that is to stretch it out and really think about spending a quarter of it every year through the 4 years of college.
Yeah.
So that's a decision that you need to make on your end. If you're lucky enough to have excess cash flow along the way to help your child out again for that commitment that you've put in place.
I have a question, Heather. So would you recommend to families, because I see a lot of college kids that are being launched over my 35 years, and families all do it a little bit different and have kind of a unique setup. I like when parents stop micromanaging and doing everything for their children and really have an open conversation, and it being flexible, meaning that it can change. Meaning, like, let's say, for instance, that EdVest account. Can your child have a say in that? Can you sit down together and see what's working, what's not working, and then readjust?
You can.
Okay.
It depends on how you view that. You view that money.
Okay.
Right. So if the parent has saved in the EdVest account and that is for college education, and that is a commitment to use that, is what the parent has put in place, right? Like, if the parent says, I will pay for tuition, or I will pay for tuition, room, and board.
Yes.
And the EdVest funds are enough to about cover what they've committed to, there's probably not a lot of say that the student would need to have.
Thank you.
But if there is an excess,
yes,
right, then that would be to make sure that you talk to your student, your child, about what are their post-college plans.
Right.
Are they planning to go to get a master's, a PhD, a doctorate?
Right.
That sort of thing, because that money could really stretch and help them for things beyond just undergrad.
Okay.
So you're right. So there is that, having that in the conversation, depending on if it makes sense.
Right. If it's relevant, it's not relevant.
Right. Okay. Relevant or not relevant. Okay. That's a really good point.
Good. Thanks.
Another thing that's really important for parents to understand, when students start to either take out loans for what they need to, what their commitment is to their education, student loans, and when they move out of, say, the dorms and they go into an apartment,
right.
Anything that you sign alongside your child, you are accountable for.
Right. That is your loan.
That is your, if you co-sign a student loan for your child, that is your loan. And if they don't have the funds to pay it back, you are going to need to pay that back. Otherwise, it's against your credit. It's against, you know, your resources.
Right.
And same really for those apartments. You know, it's now group leases. It's every kid and every parent is on that lease.
Yes.
And that that is a, you know, they're expected to split it in whatever way the students have chosen to split the rent. You know, it's usually one big lump sum divided by how many people are in the house, but that can shift. Sometimes one kid's got the smallest room, they pay maybe a little bit less. If your name is on that lease, that's a part of what you're held accountable for, too.
And that should all be being talked about.
Right.
Open
dialogue.
That needs
to be very
right?
understood.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's very difficult for these young people to get leases without a cosigner and
yes.
to get loans without a cosigner.
They don't have the yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's really, that's something to be aware of and to really make sure that you know all the details of the situation, who the other roommates are, right? Are they going to actually be able to pay? Will they actually come back to college?
Yeah, right.
Right?
Absolutely.
You sign these leases in the fall for the following school year, and it's a little bit they get a little ahead of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
One other piece before we break here for a break is everybody over 18. So I could be talking to some parents right now who might not have some of the legal documents in place. Powers of attorney for healthcare and durable or financial powers of attorney. Very, very important.
Why is that important, Heather? Help me understand that part.
It gives you are assigning someone to act as your agent if you are unable to make your own medical decisions or you are unable to make your own financial decisions. So thinking of maybe the worst cases where somebody ends up in a coma, right? And they need to have some of those decisions made. They need someone to sue on their behalf. They need someone to pay their bills or
okay.
access their bank account. That's where the power of attorney comes into place. You know, even as grown-ups, right? Even as grown-up people, having your power of attorney, if it's someone you trust, maybe it's your spouse, and if you actually activate it on the durable, the financial side, well, that means they could sign papers when you're closing on a house, right? So there's like very practical
okay.
reasons to have that in place.
Yes.
Typically, they're written to where they don't like spring into action until you're incapacitated.
Okay.
So talk to an estate planning attorney about it. Most of the powers of attorney are provided by the state. So whatever state you're in, you can find the free forms online. For Wisconsin, it's on the Department of Health Services. But that would be something that for your student that's going off to college, they definitely need to have that in order to just kind of protect them, allow you to step
right.
in easily.
Right.
So there's no question around who can.
That's just smart planning.
It's smart planning.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. So let's take a short break. When we come back, I'd love to hear more on the, I believe you called it the intangible side, the emotional side.
That's my middle name.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor at Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today, we're tag teaming this a little bit. My guest today is Jill Butterfield, licensed psychotherapist with Soul Spot Medicine. And, you know, Jill, we just in full disclosure, we have a long history together. You've been doing corporate wellness consulting here
right.
at Ellen Becker for a handful of years.
Gosh, I think it's been over 3 years now,
yeah.
right? Over 3 years. So.
Yeah, it's been really great to be able mm-hmm. to, you know, get your perspective on things, have you help us with, again, just overall wellness.
Yeah, well, we need to watch our financial wellness, of course. That is part of kind of that 360 approach. We need to focus on a lot of different types of wellness. Of course, my area of specialty is the emotional and mental health wellness. I'm also certified in nutrition and things like that, too. So it's like I really like to practice holistic wellness. And I've launched many of my kids that I've seen in therapy over the last 35 years. I think last year I had five
right.
that were going off to actually college and a couple that went off to trade school. So it was quite the launch last year. So the emotional side, especially where I know we're focusing on the parent piece, and typically I see, I'm seeing from the young adult's perspective, but I also see from the parent's perspective, not only just from my own personal, like launched my own child, and from, you know, people and adults that I work with launching their children. And it's so different and unique for each individual. It kind of reshapes our whole entire world, at our identity, what feels like our sense of home, our rituals, our dinners, the chaos, the mess. I know we kind of complain about the crumbs on the counter, but But when they're not there, we complain that the crumbs on the counter are gone. It's mm-hmm. it's this weird kind of like dynamic that is you can be proud and sad at the exact same time. It's this grieving of what was. It's not you're grieving like your child died. It's this grieving of loss or what was and them actually kind of needing you if this was your whole identity. And there's no single like right experience. Everything is unique to each individual. So I just want to make sure that you understand that it's everything is valid that you're feeling. There's no one way to feel. There's no one right or wrong way to feel. Just understand that this identity and your change and your feelings are valid, right? So, and I don't want you to like coming from, of course, the psychotherapy perspective is don't rush it. Don't rush it or like, oh, yeah, this doesn't matter. I'm being silly or I'm being, you know, whatever. Don't rush that space because this is a really, really big transition, way bigger than I think you understand when you're actually in it until you're to the other side of it. It's important to kind of validate and feel the feels and kind of go from where you're experiencing that into, okay, then now what can I do with that? And looking at this season of your life that was so rich and just running around and navigating and managing. And all of a sudden now they're just not there and feeling like what just happened? You know, did I blinked my eyes and they're off to college. So once again, proud, but also this sense of, gosh, that went very fast. So pay attention to that. Go through it at your own pace. There's no timeline or right or wrong. And just move through it with curiosity, permission, and just allowing yourself to truly engage in, okay, what's next? So you're not really losing that day-to-day you're losing, yes, but the closeness and that season is kind of changing, right? So we have to understand that it's the relationship is still there, but your children need to be autonomous. They need to be independent. I like to say we don't own our children. I wish we did sometimes, but we don't. We don't own them. They're their own unique little individuals, and we want them to launch and to grow and to experience. And so it's important.
It's like we've done our job.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
When they actually launch, that means we did do our job. And we can't run in and rescue. So I'm going to also kind of caution, let them be. You do not need to call them every day, kind of find out from each individual kid, hey, what works for you? This is a good way to kind of help them adult. Do you want to talk to me every day? Do you want me just to send me an SOS? Do you want to like, you know, text me? What's comfortable for you? Give them permission. Because as we're sad, kids love to feel like they want to run in and rescue their parents because their parents are sometimes miserable. And we don't want them to feel that pressure. We really want them just to grow. So as a parent, we really need to kind of caregive our own selves and what we need, maybe with our partner or spouse or our friends or our family. Mm-hmm. So that's what's important to make sure that you're kind of paying attention to that. And that feeling of that kind of energy of this push-pull is, remember, that's kind of how much you loved that relationship and how much that relationship meant to you. It's like kind of like love in motion, so to speak. So it's not leaving, it's just transitioning. And growing pains, that's why they're called pains, right? Growing pains are not comfortable always.
Well, and I think we have to continue to like remind ourselves about that it's a transition because it can feel so, it can feel like such a break. Right? Like so kind of so harsh. Or you think that you get home from that college drop-off.
Yep.
Right? Depending on how long the car ride was.
Yep.
You know, maybe you got through that pretty decently, right? And then it may take time for even to realize what that kind of hole feels like.
Absolutely.
But I think what you're bringing up is that's okay.
It's normal. This is growth and development. This is normal for our psychological well-being is to go through these emotions. We don't want them repressed. We want to just identify them and be like, hey, this is what I'm thinking and feeling. You know, try to process or talk to somebody, you know, to kind of help you work through it. But then, then what am I going to do about it? I'm a big believer in, okay, what am I going to do about it, right? So it's important to take care of your mental health. So if you're really stuck, I mean, you may want to see a therapist, right, and kind of work through why do I feel so stuck?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not your child leaving for school. What is this really about? You know, so it's important to kind of go there, right? In other words, but make sure, like, what can I do different? Maybe incorporate, boy, I don't have to clean up crumbs on the counter. Let's celebrate that a little bit and give a little giggle about it. And then maybe I can go for morning walks every morning.
Right.
Or I can walk the dog, or I can do a morning yoga class if I want. Mm-hmm. And look at it like, what else can I do? Let's position things in that space that took up a lot of time for managing everything, right? Managing the household or whatnot, and managing the children, into what can I do now for a little bit of self-care?
Yeah, self-care is really key. Mm-hmm. I know you talk Absolutely. To me about self-care all the time.
Self-care is very key. And it's, once again, not selfish. It's self-care is once you're well and you're doing everything you can do to feel whole. And that's, you know, physically, mentally, spiritually, right? Of course, financially too. It always sneaks in there as well, because that offers some stability and safety for us. Then it's the ripple effect. And if we have that, then everyone around us feels better, and even our children.
Right. I know, you know, self-care is not something that I don't like to slow down. I always think of self-care as that, like, change, that, like, focusing on something different,
yes.
slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of the things that is definitely self-care that I love is even just decluttering.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. And think about, even, you know, when kids go, it's a great thing you could do, mm-hmm. to have them, like, okay, let's, before you go off to college, the launch, let's go through your closet. And even if it's one or two things, and pull everything out. What do you want? What do you want to take? Because they're going to be packing anyways.
Right.
You know,
right.
You can engage in that with them. Or if they just want to do it, that's okay. But that decluttering, well, then you can go through their childhood memorabilia, or what, you could go through something to help make and create space internally for yourself.
Right. That's great. Yeah. Any other quick tips that you've got for parents during this stage when we think about kind of taking care of themselves?
Absolutely. Make sure that you are also creating little rituals as far as, okay, now what kinds of habits, or tiny habit stacking, I like to call it, is what can we do for ourselves, that either in career, this is a good time to kind of think about, okay, how do I want to grow? What do I want to do yet in this next season of, I have a little bit more time on my hands. Do I want to invest it in my career? Do I want to really invest it into making sure that I have some security and safety in my portfolio? Is it that I want to have a side hustle and I want to kind of play around with maybe opening like a wellness studio or whatever it might be, right? What other things do I want to do with my career-wise? And start really focusing on that piece of it, because you have this next good chunk of your season where it's not, once again, making a name for yourself, but also it's creating kind of, what do I really enjoy now? And that's
right.
What's important. What do I enjoy? You know, can I afford to go to a few more concerts, or can I afford to go to that art fair and actually buy a really cool painting that I like this particular artist, or what
yeah.
have you?
Yeah, especially
you
as you've got
explore.
More time.
It's the mm-hmm. exploring, but like, okay, what is this really about? But once again, make sure your habit stacking as far as, okay, now I'm really going to focus on my water intake. I'm going to do yoga. Or I'm going to do this. I mean, that's self-care, but make it routine and make it a habit and make it a ritual.
Jill, that's just been great. And that kind of returning and focusing on self
mm-hmm.
is wonderful. You talked about career.
Yes.
We'll get more into that
okay.
After this break, especially on the financial side, because, you know, these are possibly high income years.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Just because of where people are many times at as they have grown their career, or maybe they're just starting out
yeah.
because they've been home taking care of a family for
absolutely.
So long. And that's been
mm-hmm.
there where they've really invested. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Jill Butterfield, licensed psychotherapist with Soul Spot Medicine.
Wonderful.
So Jill, we were talking about the financial side and
yes.
the emotional side of the launch.
The launch,
right? Because
yes.
this, we're
mm-hmm.
looking at this from a parent's perspective. As parents transition to empty nesting.
Mm-hmm.
So then we also started to talk about, what does that mean when you've got more time, and where is your focus? So I'd like to go through some of the financial pieces
yeah,
of that.
Absolutely.
Like you had mentioned, it could be time to launch something new for yourself, launch a new career.
Yep.
It could be time for you to invest even more in what you're doing when it comes to career. It's really the time when you plan, you know, really thinking about what do I want this next season
yes.
to be? Mm-hmm. What does that mean for retirement? For some people, when their first or last, whichever child goes to college, it might still be a while before they think they're going to retire. But it's important to always return to that planning.
Yes.
So that's what we do here with our clients at Ellen Becker, right? Is we are always looking at what are the future goals, dreams, fears, desires, and how do the finances support that? So at the beginning, I mentioned one of the best things that we can kind of train our young adults to do is cash flow tracking. Well, everything starts at home, right? So the best thing we can do for ourselves is to track our cash flow. That's what comes in and what goes out and where it goes on a monthly basis. That's not to say that you need to be on a budget or that you have to restrict your spending.
But knowledge is key.
It's the understanding
Absolutely.
Of it. That is the understanding where your habits are, because that's what's really going to drive what you're going to need when you eventually retire and stop working. You're not going to likely want to reduce your lifestyle when you retire. You're going to have more time on your hands. You're going to devote more. You might want to travel. You have more hobbies you've got time for. So that's where getting into the habit now of that cash flow tracking is really important. That's going to show you, I said this already, what you're going to maybe need in retirement. It's going to show you how much is excess, if there is any, anything excess on a monthly basis, an annual basis, you know, income that is above what you're spending. Then you can make some decisions. What does that mean, right? Does that free up what your resources are to do more for family trips, as an example, right? These years, as they start to launch into being there on their own adulting, is really to think about what kind of experiences do you want to have, and finances are a part of that, especially if it's going to be like travel where you really get that dedicated time together as a family.
Because that shifts and changes. You know, while they're in college, sometimes you can still like kidnap them. I'm joking, but not joking, right?
They still want to go. If you pay for it.
And if it's somewhere really fun, like Hawaii or something, like they're going to want to go. So
yeah, they're going to want to go if you pay for it.
But that's one way to look at it. It gives you a little more time.
The other piece is analyzing where you're at with any kind of liabilities or debt. And what does that mean for your future? You know, if you've been helping finance college, you know, again, we talked about co-signing loans. Sometimes parents are taking out their own Parent Plus loans to finance their part of their commitment to their kids for college. So that's a piece to really also, again, that planning aspect to look and say, what's my plan to address this over time, right? Loans like that for student loans or mortgages that are still outstanding, those are intentionally a longer commitment. Watching credit card debt, that's for everybody on the planet, is to watch that revolving
debt
and not fall into those traps. That's another thing to really make sure that you guide your young adults on. But, you know, really looking to from a planning perspective, what are your plans for the debt payoff? Engaging a financial advisor, you know, that's somebody that's really going to be able to work with you where you're at and get you on the path to where you want to be. Double checking where you're at with your retirement savings, right? If you've been saving in your 401k, getting a match. Again, as you age, things change. After you're 50 years old, you can actually add more to your 401k than you could before you were 50. So that's called the catch-up. They just in the last year put in a super catch-up for people that are ages 61, 62, or 63. So always checking to see, am I maxing out what they're going to let me add if you're fortunate enough to have the excess income to save more? So really thinking about where you're at with saving for your future. Again, we're looking at the parent perspective. At this point, we're not talking about how to fund college as much as how to fund your own future in retirement. Looking at how you're allocated, right? Making sure that your investments are allocated in the way where you understand them, you can feel comfortable, and you can feel confident in knowing what to expect given certain market conditions.
So a quick question for you, Heather. I've noticed that there's a lot of parents that I've seen with kids being launched that are, they really don't have an good understanding about like kind of where they're at. It still feels like they're just moving along. And so would they just set up an appointment like with a financial planner? How would they go about even knowing if they're not really tracking finances and they're really, where do they even begin?
Right. And thanks for asking that,
Jill. That's a broad question. But, you know, I know that I have parents out there that have asked me and I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay, I'm the feelings expert. But once again, it's a good question because I would rather have somebody ask a question and do something about it versus just allowing it to kind of like ruminate.
Well, I think the comprehensive nature is the place to start. Here at Ellen Becker, we do comprehensive financial planning. And what does comprehensive mean? It means we're going to look at all the different seats around the financial table.
So it's like wholeness, wellness, except for all of it. Okay.
So we'll look at investments, saving, spending, insurance. We're going to make sure you've got your estate plan taken care of. That's a big piece of the long-term financial planning for where your assets are going to flow if you're no longer here. So all of those different pieces are parts of the financial planning. And there's more, charitable giving, there's property casualty insurance that a comprehensive financial planner like us at Ellen Becker are going to make sure all of those rocks get picked up, looked under, make sure they're all working together and guiding on the changes that are going to get you to where you want to be. And then being able to maintain that plan, because the guarantee of a financial plan is that it's going to change.
Right.
Right. There's that. It's, I guarantee no financial plan is going to work out exactly as
we constantly are evolving, changing, growing, need to revisit, relook at. And once again, that's just being smart.
Right. Right.
You can't put a lot of feelings around that. You just have to kind of like, it is what it is and go and educate yourself and have awareness.
Yeah.
And that actually calms down anxiety and worry and fear. Mm-hmm. If you actually have some more awareness of it or some educated somebody helping you with that too.
Right. One of the biggest pieces about financial planning as well, just to call this out a little bit separately, is tax planning.
Okay.
You know, we mentioned the 529 plans. Mm-hmm. That was a tax-free growth if used for education, right? That was a great tax savings to not have to pay taxes on any of the growth in those accounts people were investing over time. And they also got a little bit of a tax break depending on how they saved it.
Okay.
So that's even just when you're saving, as an example, also in your 401k, right? There's choices that you can make there that you really want to have that longer-term view on. Is the decision I'm making now the best thing for me now and for my future?
Okay.
When it comes to either saving tax deferred or saving Roth. But the tax planning part of it and having an eye on how are things going to change as my income changes in retirement.
Right.
If you retire early, many people think that they can't retire because they won't have health care anymore. That is the case for many people, but there's other options.
Right.
Right. So talking with a professional about how would I fund an early retirement if my health care is going to be so expensive?
Right.
You might have enough. You might not have enough. You got to figure it out and talk to somebody. So I just like to point that out because I think sometimes that's a misconception just right off the bat that I can't retire until I'm on Medicare. The can't.
Yes.
Or if it's maybe just not the best idea, right? Or it may be just the perfect idea and it's going to work out great, but you won't know until you really work with a professional on it.
Yeah. Okay. Good information. Thank you.
So I think right now we'll take a short break. When we come back, we can even dive into a bit of, okay, so we're talking about initial launch, transitioning relationships through college or trade school. And what happens when they graduate? They're not always on their own 2 feet quite yet. So I'd like to talk about that and some ways to look at that next step of financial transition. And I know there's a whole emotional piece that side,
absolutely.
Too. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group. And my guest today is Jill Butterfield, licensed psychotherapist and corporate wellness consultant. And she's been doing that part here at Ellen Becker for the last few years. Jill, we've been talking all about what it's like to have an empty nest.
Yes.
And
yes.
We talked a bit about that transition, when they leave, mm-hmm. The financial side, the emotional side, how
right.
to like look at your own time,
mm-hmm.
look at where you're devoting your own resources.
Right.
I have a little thing I wanted to still talk about, and I want to make sure that we get, you know, kind of your overview and your kind of wrap up here. But a couple things on the tail end
of the financial,
financial. When a young person graduates college,
yes,
and I do have one of those, and one more coming quickly here. You know, they're adults, and we know this, and they're wonderful human beings, and they are also just starting out.
Right.
So I think about that, some of those shared expenses that we maybe kind of forget that we're actually sharing with them. You know, our kids are on our cell phone plans.
Car
insurance. They can stay on our health insurance until age 26. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned health insurance on the tail end when you're going into retirement. But even health insurance as a young person starting out, that's a beautiful gift that we're giving our young people if they stay on our plans. So if they have a career, it would be a good idea to talk to them about what are their benefits that their company gives them versus if they stay on your plan and what makes sense for everybody.
Right.
Right. So that would be a thing. They may have loans. They may have their own debt. I'm not saying parents need to pay off that debt, but being there to support them in a way to make sure that they take that seriously, that they don't rack up more debt.
Right.
It's hard
credit
to tell someone
debt.
What to do.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
They just don't understand money yet. Yeah.
They don't understand money yet or quite yet. Maybe they're returning back home and they're going to live with you at home. That's decisions that you are in control of.
Yes.
How do you share any household expenses with them? What's kind of the expectation? Can they live rent-free for X number of months or years?
Yes.
Do they have a little something they contribute that's required for them to be able to have that kind of setup? Does that not work in your family situation? And they have to be able to pay something.
Right.
You know, they're eating likely the food in the refrigerator, They're using the resources of water and electricity.
Right.
So, you know, just figuring out what you need as a parent, because we have devoted so much to our kids' lives to get them to where they're at. And at some point that transitions I always want to be able to give people that that also permission, right, that they need to be able to do what's best for them, meaning the parent needs to do what's best for them.
Right.
The kid's got a long career ahead of them, a long life ahead of them, and we're trying to transition into
our next season.
Ours.
Yes, yep. Right, exactly.
So I do think that it is, you mentioned this at the very beginning, that's unique to everybody.
Yes.
So it's those kinds of things that can be decisions that the parent makes, can be decisions that the parent and the child make together, but to have those plans
conversations.
And those,
yes,
yep, exactly.
And they can change. What I like is that they're changing. There's a flow to it. Nothing has to be set in stone. So it can be an open dialogue. And remember that you're not there to manage them, or, you know, you're there just to consult. You're basically there to advise, consult, to help them and walk them through. But we also do our kids, our adult children, a disservice when we do everything for them. You know, they have to learn and grow. And by the way, there will be mistakes made. That is part of the process. And sometimes they'll be eating ramen noodles. That is part of the process. If they spent their money on, a party that they threw with their allowance or whatever, that's part of the learning curve. If they never have a chance to learn, you're telling your child, well, I don't think you're capable. I'm going to manage this all for you. Not always the best decision. I like when I see kids kind of messing up. In fact, I always say to them when they leave, I'm like, be good, not too good. Because once again, the mess up is brilliant, because that's how they grow. And that's what builds grit and resilience. And that is kind of the key. Lots of good scientific research out there about success. And I'm not even just talking financial success. I'm talking human success. They're good humans. They're capable because, once again, they've had moments where they've messed up and they've learned from those experiences, and they need that opportunity. So, you know, once again, I just want to make sure that we understand that it's a new version with our kids of closeness, right? It is, it's It's never ending, and it's an evolution, but not just for our children, but for us. Remember, it's their evolution and our evolution. And then there is this beautiful coming together, and we can really have fun with our adult children because they actually have a little cash and they're fun and they have opinions. And look at this as a new season. And what am I going to do with this new season?
I love that. Yeah, that new version of the relationship, the new version of it can be a new version of yourself.
Oh,
it's a new version of the of this human,
right,
like you
right.
said, the human, the grown child.
Yep. And they can see your identity too. Like, oh, I didn't know my mom like that or my dad like that, or that I didn't know my mom was so funny, you know, because all of a sudden now you're not busy kind of managing, but you can actually just participate, be present, be connected, you know, from kind of that soul level, that soul connection. It's
right,
great.
Right.
It's actually a great, once you get to the on the way other side, which I've just kind of reached the way other side. I can look at it from a, I guess, from a fresh perspective, because the feelings are still there once in a while where I get angsty. But for the most part, it's just this sheer excitement and joy and to watch them kind of blossom into their own adult.
Right. And it can take you back.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
Absolutely.
To when you were going through that, even though that was for me a long time ago.
A long time ago for me, too. So,
yeah. But still, you know, you can, it's been a fun part of the journey.
Yes.
You know, is not to try to compare, but it just brings you back to how you thought, how I remember feeling in those moments. Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then honoring where each of those kids is at too.
Yes.
Right? Like honoring them as people and them as their own journey.
Yes.
I think like you said, like they're capable. We all mess up.
Right. We all do. Even as adults, we mess up. But isn't that, we got to give ourselves a little grace and kind of move on, right?
Yeah.
And once again, that's how we grow.
Yeah. Well, Jill, this has been wonderful. I always enjoy talking to you.
Thank you,
I'm
Heather.
So grateful that you were able to be on the show with me. I know we, you know, did kind of two different sides of this type of journey.
Right.
And I really think that the listeners will appreciate that. If anybody wanted to learn more about the work that you do, I know you are a published author, right? So is there a place they can go to find out more about Jill?
Yeah, you can go to my website, Soul Spot Medicine, and I just finished up a third book. And so I have, you know, a couple little guides on earthing, which is like grounding. And then I just did animal wisdom, which is pet therapy. Those are kind of alternatives. I'm in the process of doing more of those. And I did write a book on anxiety. So, and that's a little bit bigger work of just because I've been doing this a long time, I kind of needed a place to put all my stuff. So,
yeah.
And I, you know, you do share a lot of what you've learned and you grow throughout the process. And it's just a nice format to be able to put it all into one place. So Soul Spot Medicine, if you have any further questions or have any ideas, I love feedback. So it's a great place to kind of get in contact with me.
Thanks, Jill.
You're welcome.
And remember, Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you've enjoyed today's show and want to learn more about Ellen Becker and our upcoming events, you can visit our website, ellenbecker.com, or call the office, 262-691-3200. And, you know, I hope that we've made a difference in your personal well-being and your financial well-being. And before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.